Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story. Well, we have Jessica and Peter Houle today on the Love Couch. You are the only person so far, Miss Jessica Houle, that can command the store the way that you do, shutting down everything 5 p.m. on a Friday to get you guys in to record. When it's the, like, we can get Jessica in, it's like, tell me when. We'll shut down, boom, make it happen.
Wow.
That's the I hope you command the same presence in your household.
Oh, obviously.
Yes. Yes. It happens every time she comes home.
Mom's home. Everybody. Quick.
Yeah. Garage door's opening. Hurry. Move.
I was just saying before we hit the record button that I know very little about your relationship. My extent of my relationship with you is through you, Jessica, for the people who are listening and not seeing that I'm gesturing towards Jessica Houle. I think I met you at the chamber, at a chamber function of some sort or some kind of a United Way function.
Sure.
And then met your husband, Peter, by proxy through ordering flowers and all of that. So he's in my phone. I've got your number saved in my phone. So every time you call, it's kind of the same thing. These are about to be flowers for Jessica. Everything. Everybody be quiet.
Stop.
Peter's on the phone.
Oh, wow. I feel special.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our background. Known you for a handful of years. How did you guys meet?
We met a long time ago, so actually it was your birthday, right?
Actually, it was probably 6 months prior to that.
Okay.
I was invited out to a friend from high school, and we were out having a bonfire at his place. And
a post-prom party.
So we're going way back.
Way back.
Like, okay.
High school, actually.
High school, okay.
And
post-prom in his hometown.
Yep.
Okay, and which is?
Pine City.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
So we show up there, and there's no fire going, and there's these two girls trying to start this fire. And I walked up, and I was like, would you like some help? And this one girl...
We were doing fine.
...said, no, we don't need no help.
That's right.
And I was like, okay. And she kind of gave me the cold shoulder. And
well, yeah, because how dare you?
Right, right.
Yeah,
and underestimate me.
Yeah.
Come on.
That is the last time, the first and last time you ever underestimate Miss Jessica.
That's right. And... she kind of, that was kind of the last dealings we had. You know, we just kind of hung out. And
yeah.
And I was there, because I'm not from there.
But where
I
are
was
you from?
There. I grew up in Bemidji.
Okay.
But my cousin, her stepsister, is my age.
Okay.
And so she was going to prom, and that's where she's from.
Okay.
And said, you should come down and help me get ready for prom, and then go to some after prom parties with me.
You are of prom age, still you're in high school?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
You're like, sure, cool, I'll come down, help you get ready, and then
yeah.
just sit here and, you know,
yeah.
drink Coke and wait until you
right.
get yeah, yeah, get home from prom. Then yeah. we'll go to this post-prom party.
Yes.
You roll in, you're like, cool, we'll get this bonfire started. And then some schmuck comes yeah. in and is
I have no idea whose house we were at or anything. People weren't back from prom yet, but we just yeah. showed up or like, we'll get this party going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
It was yeah. Jamie Tuckner's place.
Okay.
But anyway, that's fine. Okay, anyway.
And did you, Peter, were you at this prom or were you coming to the post-prom party also?
I was just hanging out with some buddies.
Okay.
And they said there was a bonfire, so we decided
sure.
to go. I wasn't.
We were like the...
I never went to prom.
Post-prom pre-party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Post-prom pre-party.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you get the fire going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Well, of course you did.
Yeah. Yep.
So then after that all happened, it was... Geez. Was it more than 6 months later?
Yeah.
That we had met at the...
Yeah,
the gathering?
Because it was your 20th birthday. So it was actually a couple of years
okay,
later.
Okay, so then
oh,
it
wow.
was...
Yeah.
A couple of years later,
mm-hmm.
I was invited out to a pig roast that they had in Pine City.
Yep. So, again, a mutual friend of ours, a friend of my cousin's stepsister.
Uh-huh.
I kind of knew this whole group of friends, right?
Sure.
So her family every year organized this kind of big community party thing. They just would roast a pig, invite all their friends and people. It's not a big town, so people would all get invited.
Yeah.
And my sister was coming with too, because it was just a bunch of us going. And for this was in August that this mm-hmm. party was happening. And for the entire summer, I had heard about this party and the fact that Peter Houle was coming to the party.
So you knew of Peter Houle this whole
by
time?
By name.
Okay.
By name. And
did you put two and two together that he was the one from
nope.
the bonfire?
Okay, no, so not until a lot later, actually.
Okay.
But all summer long, these girls that we were hanging out with.
Everyone's like, all Twitter-pated.
Peter Hool's coming. Oh my God, it's going to be his birthday. Oh my God, we have to buy him birthday cards.
That has to be exaggeration.
It's so not, actually. It's so not. So they literally all bought brand new outfits and had birthday cards because Peter Hool was coming.
Now, what is the, did they tell you what the appeal was of Peter Hool? Was it like he was a big baseball star? Was there anything? It was just, he was just Hunk of Bird in Love.
Everybody was super excited.
Okay.
He was going to be super fun. And
okay. Yeah. Peter Hool's
rightfully
a party.
So he is fun.
Yeah, Party Peter is going to be there.
That's right. And so, quite, you know, I'm literally the only one who doesn't know who he is. And so I just, I'm like, oh, okay, great. And so we get to the day of the party, and me and this group of friends are hanging out. Mm-hmm. And we're playing volleyball, and somebody made it known that Peter Hool had rolled in.
Of course.
And
everything
like,
stops.
All of a sudden, I was playing volleyball by myself because everybody runs away. And I'm just like...
The C parts. Right. And Peter Hool comes walking in.
Right. And I'm just like, I guess I'm just going to go eat dinner now because I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. And I don't care
and I don't
at
know who
all
this guy
about
is.
Peter Hool.
Right.
Which
and,
it would be weird for you to come running up and be like, oh,
oh my God.
Yeah.
So I go sit down. Actually, my sister and I go in. We go grab some food. We're sitting at these long, you know, it's like at the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. So it's like this long building with all these tables and chairs. So we just sit down and we're eating and kind of mingling with people. And in comes Peter Hool.
Yeah, his girls, yes.
Right. And they go through the food line and he sits down next to me. And he's like, oh, hi, I'm Peter Hool. And I was like, of
course
you are.
Yeah.
That's right.
Actually, I think I said hi to your sister first.
Oh.
But, you know.
Wow.
She was just standing there. And then I saw you walk by and I was like, ooh, who's that?
So then you said hi to
him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That's true.
So then, yeah, so we just kind of chatted. And
it was immediately, did you feel the daggers of all of the other women?
No, I mean, not really, because there wasn't, I mean, we were all just kind of talking and they're all trying to catch up with him. And it happened to be like right before his birthday.
Okay.
And so you were making plans, I think, with some of your buddies to go out for your birthday.
Yeah, yep.
You know,
this
going
the
out.
Big 21?
No, 20.
20.
Okay. But, you know, like in a small town, going out for your birthday means basically... Where's this bonfire going to happen?
Yes.
You know, right? And so, you know, I didn't have much choice because I was with my friends and that's what was happening. And so it was just the next thing on the agenda.
You found yourself at Peter Hool's birthday party.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Again, I have no idea where we were.
It was in a field somewhere. Yeah, well, that was it.
A lot of trucks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A lot of beer.
Yep.
In a field with a bonfire.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it was just, it was really, really fun. And so we just chatted throughout the night and kind of hung out and got to know some of the friends that you had there that I hadn't met. And
stuff.
But I was still just kind of like the girl who doesn't know anybody here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of how it went.
Yeah.
And then after that, we spent, you called me a few days later.
Yep.
Got my number from probably one of the people you knew that I knew.
Yeah, it's probably,
Tammy or somebody like
Janelle
that.
Or Janelle or somebody.
Amber or something.
So did you have to call someone and be like, that chick, I need her number?
You know what, I honestly think I just asked her for it, I think. Because I don't remember talking to them, but this was a long time ago. But I think I just asked you for it. Because we ended up hanging out for probably a week straight after that, you know.
After that, after you called me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I asked you for your number.
Maybe.
Sure.
We're getting really old, okay?
There was beer and there was a fire.
There was. I mean, we were up until it was light out.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the only way to do
a
bonfire.
Who knows what happened, right?
You have to make sure that the fire doesn't, you know, spread or
that's
whatever.
Right.
Smokey
that's
the Bear would be very proud of you guys.
Right, so right, right.
So true.
Yeah.
So then basically we just hung out almost every single day after that.
Yep. So then I went back home and I was living in the cities at that time.
Okay.
I think I called you up and said, did you want to hang out in the cities? And I met you at that Sinclair gas station.
Yeah, we met at a gas station.
Ooh.
So I could navigate to his house.
Sure.
You know, and stuff. And so we did and we hung out.
She had a flower for me at the Sinclair.
You did? What kind of flower?
It was like a carnation, I think. It was a red one. I remember that.
I don't even remember that.
I remember.
Wow. That's nice. Yeah.
Wow. Young Jessica was very thoughtful.
I guess so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So then we literally just started dating, like spending every minute we could together. I was still living up in this area.
Okay.
And so it wasn't too far to go from here to Maple Grove, basically pretty often, most days or nights seeing each other. So we met in August, like early August. August 10th was your birthday?
Yeah.
And we got engaged October 21st.
What?
Yeah.
Yep.
August to October.
Yeah.
At 20.
He is 20 and I had just turned 21 in October.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 2 months, a little over 2 months.
Yeah. That is
expedited.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very expedited.
Yeah.
Okay. So who proposed to whom?
I proposed.
Okay.
Her.
So you were like, the moment you saw her and you were like, who's that? And then we're hanging out, you're doing the thing. What prompted you to be like, we've got this 2 month engagement. She is the Jessica Hool, you know, yeah. future Miss Jessica yeah. Hool. We got to lock this down.
You know, I just knew it was right.
Yeah.
That's all I could say. The day I went to pick up the ring, I was dressed in, I had told her that I was going to my brother's house to help him do yeah. some construction on his house. And I had nicer clothes on and I was slipping out the door to go get the ring. Uh-huh. And she's like, oh, no. You're not leaving the house with those clothes on if you're going to go over there and do construction. And
I'm like, I was asleep, actually. But I remember looking at him like, why are you wearing that to go like paint someone's house?
Do you not know what you're about to go do?
Yeah, I was like, this is very odd. And he's like, oh, okay.
So
like, very hesitant, like, got changed.
I changed in some really grubby clothes and then I went ring shopping.
Uh-huh. Oh.
These people were looking at me like, oh, you can't afford this.
She made me change.
Yeah.
I lied to her. I had to change. I looked nicer, I promise.
Yep. Yep, that's how it went. I actually bought the ring and then came right back home. And you were still sleeping.
Did you have it in your pocket?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of laid next to her on the bed and opened it up.
Yeah,
and
wake up.
Like,
wake up.
Literally buys a ring and comes home and just is like... Will you marry me?
Like a penguin with a pebble.
Well,
like
there was
a look at what I got you.
You actually had thought of a plan.
Yeah, but, you know.
But like,
you're too excited.
Wait.
Yeah,
couldn't
wait. Absolutely not. Yeah. And you're laying there asleep and he's like, Jessica.
Wake up.
Right.
And I was like, why?
I have a pebble for you.
Yeah.
You know, you can't keep that stuff kind of secret. You can't. No. I'm not a very good secret.
Well, not when you're a golden retriever. You
right,
can't
right,
keep
right,
it
right.
a secret. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
So, okay. You made him change. He goes, he looks like a.
Yeah,
homeless person.
Goes pick up the ring.
Yep. Goes, buys a ring, come back, and are you shocked? Were you expecting it? Had you talked about, like, had any kind of, like, what do you want your future to look like plans? Nothing?
I mean, we had talked about it, right?
Sure.
Like, we had started talking about, this is going pretty fast, like, is this going, you know, where was this going and everything? And so we kind of had those talks, we had those conversations, and so I kind of knew, but I did not know that it was coming
that day. Yeah.
At all. And so... I was surprised.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
It's been how many years? And I'm still surprised.
Yeah.
This is...
25.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been married for 25 years and I'm surprised with how fast you guys got engaged. I love it.
I know.
I think this is probably the fastest engagement story that we have on here. Okay. So
we had like a 14-month engagement. We talked about like wedding plans and like after that point, actually, we just like, well, what time of year do you think we should do this and stuff? And... I love winter, and his favorite color is red.
Yep.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and so I was like, well, it's probably going to have to be around Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. Or somewhere in there. So we picked December 4th. It sounded like a good day. It was a nice even number. I love even numbers.
Yeah, she's not kidding about the even number.
And so we just started planning for that day. So
sure.
About 14 months, you know, we were engaged and planned out things. And so 16 months total.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before, you hadn't done a full season.
No.
With each. Okay.
Nope.
So, parents, when you met each other's parents, were they like, oh, you got to lock this one down? Or were they?
No.
Okay, but wait. My parents, yes.
Okay.
My parents love.
Because he is the Peter Hool, after all.
Of course.
Yes. Your
They're
parents
like,
were like, wait.
I can't believe you did this.
You're hanging out with Peter Hool?
How did you make this happen? Yeah. Actually, he would come the first couple times they met him. My parents were building a house, and so he was always very helpful and handy. They're like, this kid's great. We like this kid, you know, whatever. And that would, well, not your parents, just
my parents are, you gotta kind of get them used to the idea, kind of, you know.
You did,
it's,
but
it
I'm
was,
still
it was
not
fast.
Used to the
yeah,
idea.
It was
yeah,
quick
and I, yeah,
but also, he's the ninth of 10 kids.
Oh.
So, okay.
And so they've been through this
many
in
times.
Many forms, many times, but still, it's still just like, you know,
yeah,
the ninth of 10. So you would be, are you,
I have one younger brother.
Okay.
And then I have, the rest are all older than me. So.
Sure.
And it's 8 boys, 2 girls.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of all 10 of your siblings, are you the favorite? Are you the baby? Are you the wild child? Are you, like, where are you, like, what emotional tide were your parents like, I can't believe that you're getting, is this out of character for you?
I'm just the kid that kind of blended in with the background, sure. Kind of.
So now you're over here making a splash, getting engaged. What do you, we don't, yeah. Who are you again?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It took some getting used to for them and.
His parents, they were obviously 10 kids, very, very Catholic-based, yeah. You know, family. And so not Catholic, mm-hmm. You know, grew up Lutheran. And that was actually the hardest thing for them. Most of their children had, not all of them, but a lot of them had married other people who were of the same religion. And so that was actually the hardest thing to this day still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there's still some, what would you call it, some concerns about it, I guess, you know, just.
And they're some still questioning never, after 25
never
years.
Let, they'll never
That's
let
a good
go.
Choice. So
we'll just they've just got the Catholics only classifieds open every time Peter comes over. Yeah. Just in case.
So, for real.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much. Yep.
Well, I'm not changing my mind, so.
Well, yeah. Well, good. They would be really embarrassing to have you guys on the podcast. And for him to be like, you know what, actually, I think mom and dad
we leave here. Yeah. It's be a weird conversation.
Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com or Facebook or Instagram at greenthumbetc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon. Audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark. You are doing the thing. You would meet the parents.
Can I actually tell you the story about the first time I met his parents?
Please.
Because this is most people's favorite story about...
Okay.
I mean, this is kind of a funny story and... To be fair, there's not a lot of funny stories when it comes to his parents. So he was like, hey, this is, I think before we were engaged.
Yeah.
We're going to go up and just go up to Pine City from the city, you know, if we were in Maple Grove. And so go meet my mom and dad. His younger brother was still living at home at the time. And so he's like, we'll just go up for dinner. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. Oh. We'll go meet them. And... And he was like, it's Friday, and of course, my parents are Catholic, and so they don't eat meat on Fridays.
Yes.
Ever.
And you can't stay the night, because we have to go up and,
Right. Mm-hmm. So we got a hotel, I'm sure, or something.
I think we did.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's better. So he's like, so there won't be meat. And in fact, most of the time on Fridays, my mom makes pancakes or waffles, and just because we don't eat meat and stuff. And I was like, that's cool. I love pancakes.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, breakfast food is great.
Sure, absolutely. So, sure enough, we get there. Me and she's in the kitchen cooking, and he's like, yep, it's going to be pancakes. I was like, awesome. Mm-hmm. I love pancakes. Their kitchen is like, their dining room is here, and their kitchen is just like on the other side of the wall. Mm-hmm. And so, that's an important part of this detail, my story, because she, brought pancakes out, and we're all eating them, and she goes back around the corner, and I'm like cutting into my pancakes, getting syrup on them, and stuff like that. And I'm eating a couple bites of these pancakes. I'm like, this is, something's off. What is off with this? And Peter's just like,
you're used to what you're used to.
Yes.
And so I'm investigating now what's happening with these pancakes because something's off. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it. And I'm like, huh. And I'm quite literally looking around and everybody else is eating pancakes.
They're fine. Yeah, everything's fine.
And I'm just like, what? So I think his dad got up at one point and I was like, hey, why is there corn in these pancakes? And he's like, what? And I was like, there's corn in the pancakes. He's like, yeah. And I was quite literally like, this isn't going to work. But
this was a mistake. And I need to leave.
Uh-huh. And I was like, okay. I'm literally just waiting for his parents to come back into the dining room, like, laughing. Because I was like, this is just a funny joke. Uh-huh. They're just playing a... Yeah, totally. I thought I was being punked. No, well, he's like, yeah, that's just... Well, we do because my mom, you know, thinks like ever since we were little, like we don't eat meat, but we have to still get our vegetables and stuff like that. And right. So she just throws the vegetables, like the corn, into the pancakes.
And let's be honest, I'm not gonna tell you, but that's not the weirdest thing she put in her waffles
either. No, I know it's
so
not.
We'll just leave it at that.
I'm very aware.
Yeah, you have to get the filler in there.
Yeah.
Just you know, with 10 kids, you don't waste enough.
Yeah, no.
You just make it happen, I guess.
So I'm just like, no.
I can't do this.
No.
Yeah.
And so I politely just kind of like rearranged the rest of the food on my plate to make it look like
a
meeting.
Like a child. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then I was like,
we're going. And after 10 kids, she's like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But also, you know, she wasn't going to say much to me because we didn't know each other. But I literally was like, we're going to McDonald's. Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I like will. McDonald's.
Yeah, sure.
I think I ate again, too.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. All so that corn.
It's not a normal thing.
I one time was making spaghetti for my kids. And this was my food shelf special where I was like, okay, I've got like some weird hamburger and I have bean, like refried beans and I have spaghetti sauce and I have noodles. And I was like, I think this is a great way to get more fiber into my kids. Yep. And so I like took the refried beans and mixed it in with the spaghetti sauce because I was like, there's no way that no one will be able to taste it. And that was how I served their spaghetti. And they were like, this tastes weird, but everybody ate it because everybody loves spaghetti. And then my kids would not stop farting all night long. And I was like, this has quite literally backfired on me. And that was the last time I put a foreign anything into another meal.
Yeah.
Don't combine meals. No. Why are we combining sides and...
Oh, we will get our vegetables and our protein and the things other days.
Also, we could skip breakfast. I don't need a vegetable at breakfast time.
No. Coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a coffee. Bean.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, it is a bean.
Yes. Now you've got mom's secret family recipe for her pancakes and corn.
I mean, I had learned over the last 20 plus years, I just don't eat very much at her house because you just don't know what things really are.
Yes, all you're going to be getting. The, the Friday surprise.
Yeah. Oh, truly, all the surprises. Don't eat cake.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Done to cake?
If you eat a piece of her cake, you will not need to eat for about 4 more days. It just sits in your stomach like you ate cement.
You know, she would sabotage or recreate different ingredients like, you know, sugar probably wasn't so good for you. Or like, you know, like brown sugar. We never had brown sugar, so she'd mix molasses in with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It ended up being like a brick, or you could build a house with it, be the cornerstone, and it would stay there.
It just
there
makes my stomach hurt thinking about it, honestly.
Well, you wouldn't and need then to eat you, for a week.
Sure as heck weren't going to find milk in the fridge to, like, wash that down.
Yeah.
So it was just, no, it's just a hard no. You just don't eat there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a rule.
You learned your lesson, 25 years.
Yeah.
And you managed to still find something good to come out of.
Yeah.
That.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
The good thing is I'll eat anything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That is. Yes. Yes. Truly. Yes. Do you like to cook? Are you a cook?
Yeah.
Are you the cook of the house?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yep. So, and has that always been the case?
Yes.
Okay. So you truly are like, this is an affront to everything that I know and love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you still got married.
Yeah.
So the proposal, you're engaged, all of that. Where did you get married? How did you decide the whole wedding planning, all of that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Was it in a Catholic church?
Absolutely not.
Not allowed because you haven't been
right.
blessed.
We didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No. My parents moved from Bemidji to Walker and had built a house there. And so my mom was actually working at a church. It was brand new. And I was like, let's get married at this brand new church. It'll be fun. And so he was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Peter Hool, so he doesn't, yeah. He's just like, whatever, he's along for the ride, right? As long as there's a party at the end of the day, let's go, yep. Right?
Party time, Peter. Yeah.
And so at the time there was a really fun venue up there. It's the Red Barn. I actually think it's like a landscaping company now.
It is.
Okay. But it was this big barn on the end of town that somebody had as a kind of a reception place. And so we booked that, got the church and started planning and had red. Red was the color because that was
of course.
Yep. That was his one, literally his one like thing. Like, can we just have red? So
were the bridesmaids in red? What was okay?
Bridesmaids were in red.
Like, did you carry a little bit red of white. Roses?
I did. Yep. And then we had the church was decorated with like red poinsettia, so it all worked out really nicely in our favor. So,
So had you been living together at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In sin.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. But the pastor like came to our house. We did all of our marriage classes at our house. He would make trips down to the cities for most of them. And so he came and visited us, and he actually, you know, you have to do those like little premarital classes and like tests and stuff. And so we'd have to take the test separately and then compare notes and stuff. And he had said in all of his time being a pastor that nobody besides us had ever scored like nearly a perfect score on like the communication side of things.
Wow.
And so I think we sort of got like a pass.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, he was just intrigued at how we hadn't
it's
known
more
each
of a
other
science
for so long.
Expense. Yeah, he's just
but we didn't know each other, but we were very open and on the same page with so many things. Mm-hmm. And so
but everything else we were like completely opposite on.
Yeah.
I mean it was just couldn't get more farther from from the being the same or whatever. Right. But
it worked out.
I mean, communicate truly, like at the end of it all, communication is like, whatever, you know, you guys could be attractive people and attractive people, who cares at the end of the day? It's like, do you know how to talk to each other?
Yeah,
do you know how to listen to each other?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So you scored nearly perfect. Mm-hmm. And so the pastor was like, all right, I guess. Stamp of approval. Okay.
Yeah. I'll even come to your house.
Yeah. That you live in together.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So you were living down in the cities at the time? Okay.
Yep.
And so, and your family had moved to Walker. So then now you're... What was kind of the next, you get married, everything is great, go back to living together.
Yep.
When did you move from the cities up this way?
We moved up here before we decided to have kids, really.
Yeah, it was right around, I think, 2000.
Right around 2000. So we got married in 1999, and we knew we wanted, because we were younger, and we were like, let's be married for a little while.
And what are your friends like doing at this time? Like, where are they at? Are they all like, no, we're just partying at the bonfire? Or are they like also like starting to pair off too?
I guess once I met Jessica, I really didn't go back up that way very much.
Sure, as often.
Yeah.
And I still hung out with them. They all knew each other. They were all like partnered in high school. Like, they all kind of married high school sweethearts, right?
Sure.
So we'd get back there for weddings and whatnot and stuff. But we were kind of doing our own thing down in the city. It's kind of by ourselves. I mean, we had friends and we saw friends.
Yeah.
We made lots of friends down there too. Yeah. So we navigated this way though in planning for someday to have children, but also knowing like we're young. We don't want to have kids right now. We just want to be married. And so.
Well, and then that too, I didn't really want my kids going to school in the cities. It's a different.
It was big. You know, we
it's too big for a farm kid, you know?
Yeah.
It's too big.
And so. We're just like, it's hard enough to navigate life and then navigating that in a large community and wanting to have something that was smaller, to have that support system and be closer to family and stuff like that too. So we just kind of picked this area, you know, said we'll try it out. And this is where we've been ever since. So
when you are down in the cities and you're freshly married and all of that, what are you doing for work? Like, what did you know that you had career paths? You're like, I literally picked the one thing, my husband or my wife. And that's like, the rest of it, meh, we'll figure it out. Like,
well, I was working for my brothers. They had a cleaning company, so I'd go cleaning, and she would help me with it sometimes, and we just kind of did that together for a while. And
and then we were kind of at that point of like, what are you gonna do?
Yep.
He started working for Carpet Lane.
Yeah.
Doing Carpet Lane and stuff.
Yep.
And then I went to school for business management, travel, stuff like that. And I was doing corporate travel at the time.
Okay.
And he actually got in a really, really bad car accident. Like, got rear-ended by a semi in, like, stopped traffic. And I got a call at work that had happened.
How long into marriage?
About 9 months, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And so that was terrifying to get that call. and he had had I from where we lived to downtown Minneapolis, I just took the bus, and so he had my car, and we went after figuring out where he was and everything. Eventually, we went and saw the car, and that was so hard because it was like just what you imagine, like just this little car, no windows, all the windows are broken, busted out, the back ends like in the back seat, like it was just bad. Wow. And so I was like, could have been so much worse. He doesn't really remember.
I don't remember much of it.
Like getting hit.
I remember, the thing I remember was the car next to me. The guy was crawling out through the side window. I don't remember so much of the accident.
Did it hit multiple cars? Yeah. Like it hit you and the car next to you?
Yep.
Okay. Wow.
He just didn't, I don't think he realized everybody was stopped, like dead stopped, right? And so he didn't have time to stop.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but that actually was the start of a couple of years of just a lot of really hard time, because he wasn't feeling, I mean, he had like chronic neck injury pain after that. And it really altered who he was for a long time because of that pain.
Yeah.
Right. And so he just couldn't work for a while. And that was really hard on him because he had been so used to just like, he's a farm boy and you get up, you go to work, you work hard and, you know. And not being able to do that, like, we definitely saw Peter go through, like, a lot of, like, depression and some dark times and just, like, wanting to withdraw from friends and just never not wanting to be around me so much, but just, like...
Big crowds. I didn't want to be around them.
But just even our friends, you know? And it was to the point where friends and family were noticing, like, what's wrong? You know, like, what's going on with him? And it was hard for me to explain then because I was like, I don't know. Like, he's just not himself, and he doesn't... I think, you know, I remember he was 21 when it happened, and I remember him telling me, like, he just felt so useless. Like, he felt like... He's like, I feel like an 80-year-old guy who can't get out of bed in the morning because I'm in so much pain all the time, and he's like, I'm tired of it, and it just was wearing. But it took years of seeing the right people, getting the right therapy for all the things, and... finally just starting to feel better.
Yeah.
And then kind of having to pull him back out of that and be like, okay, we're too young to just be sitting at home doing nothing. Like, we're going to have to reintroduce you to the world again.
Yeah.
And so just doing that respectfully and at a pace that he could be okay with. And then we got back to Peter Hull. So
party time, Pete. That's,
and right about that time, too, is when we decided to move up this way, too, because I didn't have a job at that time, and you had picked up a job
here
with the survey company.
Yeah, when we moved up here.
Yeah, when we moved up here.
Yeah, it was just a good time to sort of transition life a little bit, and so...
Like kind of going into your mid-20s, early to mid-20s.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. So we just made the decision to just kind of get a fresh start once we knew... You know, there were still things that we had to deal with, you know, continued therapy and stuff for him. Yep. But it was just a good time to say, like, okay, let's have a restart or kind of start in life and just start fresh somewhere else and see how it goes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And, like, what a lot to truly kind of fast track your life. And then it's like, okay, now I've seen you at your, you know, I've seen you at the best and I've seen you now at your worst. Mm-hmm. And, like... And the pastor was right. It was just like, but you're off the charts for communication. So you guys are fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you move up this way. And then how long did you have kind of in your mind of like how long you wanted to wait before you had kids? Or was it like when we know, we know?
Well, I always felt like I wasn't ready.
Okay.
And Jessica was ready. She wanted to have kids. And finally, she was like, you're never going to be ready until...
Until it's here.
I mean, so that's fair, right? Like, when do you feel like you're ever ready to do something like that? But, I mean, I think we did talk about, like, let's wait, like, 3 to 5 years and just, you know, kind of when it feels like it's time, it's time. Mm-hmm. So, not knowing that all of this was going to drastically change our life, right? And so, I think we had to get through so much of that because we just wouldn't have had the capacity to deal with a young baby.
Yeah.
And going through all those other things, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you decided that, okay, it's time, was it like pretty much like it's time and then, oh, I'm pregnant? Or did you have some, that was it?
I mean, things happen quick in our life, actually, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened pretty quick. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it was super exciting. We had the first grandkid on my side of the family. I don't even know what number on your side. It was like 20, oh, 25
yeah,
or something.
I can't even count.
I have no idea, to be honest, how many there are on his family. Yeah, so I'd have to sit down and count, and I could. Yes. But, you know, we had Ian, and it was so much fun, you know, and my parents just adored the fact that they were grandparents. Mm-hmm. And my mom was the person who were, she and I are exactly 20 years apart, almost like a week within that.
Okay.
And I, growing up, she was always like, I want to be a grandma when I'm 40. I want to be a grandma when I'm 40.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay. And like,
you didn't really, I don't. You don't. Like, no, I don't. Yeah.
Okay. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. But okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were just excited that,
yes.
that, you know, she was 45. So we threw off her timeline a little bit, but we got there. We got there.
Yeah. Thank you for keeping up the pace a little bit.
I know.
Though. Yeah.
I know. So, you know, and then we actually just said initially, we kind of talked about like maybe we'd have like three kids, you know, something like that. And we had one and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like one is hard. One is a lot.
And I like when Jacob was born, I felt like, there's absolutely no way I could love another kid. Like, I feel so much love for this kid. How much more do I have to give? Not much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Peter, it was just a lot. Like, we were both kind of still trying to figure out career paths and stuff like that. I was in a job that I had been in for a while. Peter had decided, like, well, maybe I should go to school and kind of figure out what I want to do. And so there was a lot of, like, if we're going to have more kids, we probably should figure out timing and stuff like that. And so, and Ian, our first oldest child, was the hardest baby.
What?
Yeah, he was.
That is shocking.
So hard. Honestly, I don't think, they say you don't sleep when you have a newborn.
Yeah.
We didn't sleep for 2 years, quite literally.
Wow.
He never slept.
Was he just like awake and like, I'm awake and happy, or was he awake and crabby? He was just,
it depended on what time of the day it was.
Okay.
But he was just always awake.
Just always awake.
That was the reoccurring theme.
Yeah.
We slept in shifts.
Like, yeah.
The longest either one of us would get to sleep at one time is 4 hours, because the other one was taking turns.
On good days,
Yep. Wow. And he's very colicky. Didn't
doing the, like, driving him around and whatever you could do to get him to just rest.
How did that impact your relationship? Was it like we'd already just kind of, or was it just like
it's survival mode as parents, right?
Like, well, you know, and also she was on first shift and I was working second shift at that time, so you know, we really didn't see each other a whole lot because we're just coming and going and then I'd have to, you know, drive him around St. Cloud at 3 a.m, you know, because he just didn't want
to
sleep.
Do what you got to do to just, and so when he decided to go back to school, he decided to go to the community college in Brainerd.
Yep, the CLC community college. Yep.
And my parents were now living in that area. And so they had offered to let us move in with them just to kind of help with things and stuff like that. So I got a job at one of the resorts up there while he was in school, and we got daycare and everything. And so it worked out really well. They grew so close to him. My parents did with Ian. I think it's just something that, you know, it was hard also because, you know, we're all in one house and they're trying to not parent, you know, him and letting us parent, but also trying to be there to help and stuff. And so there's a lot to navigate. It was honestly something I wouldn't change. It was such a cool experience as a new parent. You know, he was like one-ish when we moved in with them.
Yeah, he might have been a little bit older.
Yeah. So, and we were there for about a year because he went to a 1-year program. And so we were there for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like such a cool experience to see them be grandparents and have the opportunity to be so hands-on with him. Really, really neat. So, and then we eventually, after you finished school, took another job. We relocated back to this area again. Mm-hmm. We liked it. We had started building friends here and stuff. So we came back. And then we ended up having Lily when Ian was 4.
Okay.
So it took us some time because of all those things, but also because it was hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm good. One's good. And he was like, I have 9 siblings.
Yeah.
We're not having a child.
What does one kid do by itself?
No. Yeah. He's like, that sounds awful. Yeah. We're not doing that.
How lonely. Yeah.
And so we then had Lily, and she was couldn't be more opposite than him as a baby. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I could guarantee that we would get to have another one like this,
we would have had another 50-50. Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that again.
Yeah.
But if I could, I'd do this again. But that's too risky.
Yeah. I'm not a gambling man.
50-50 odds are not good.
And by that time, Peter had taken a job with Burlington Northern Railroad. And so, again, he was traveling and gone. Yeah. And so it was really just up to me the majority of the time, right? Yeah. And it was like, two being 4 years apart was manageable in some ways, you know, because Ian could get what he needed. Yeah. He was, you know, pretty self-sufficient already at that age. Like, he did what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. So I could take care of Lily. And I was like, I just don't know that I could do this by myself.
Yeah.
All the things, physically, mentally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just need to sleep at some point, too. Yeah. So, yeah.
So as a now grown man, is Ian, does he have that same energy or is he entirely...
He kept telling me, I only have a sister, right? And so I didn't know what it was to, like, raise a boy, to be around boys. Yeah. I guess, you know, like, little boys. I don't know what to do with boys.
No,
like, but he kept telling me all the time. I would call him and be like, I can't, this is so hard. Why does he just climb on everything and jump off the counter? And I'm like, this is outrageous. Like, what is wrong with
he's
boys?
Wild. Yeah.
And he was like, it's going to be okay, I promise. Like, there's going to be a time, like, middle school-ish time that he's like, he'll just chill out. I was like, I don't know. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
The roles were going to change.
Yeah.
Is what it was going to happen.
Yeah, because we had this girl who I was like,
she's so easy. Right? She's so sweet.
Yeah. And
she's
then so quiet. Him, who I'm just like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Honestly. And then he's like, one day things are going to change. Like,
yeah.
They're just going to flip flop. And it, quite literally, the truer thing has never been spoken.
Yeah.
It was exactly what happened.
Yes.
So. Ian got easy and Lily.
Oh,
dear Lily.
She became a middle schooler at some point. And that's gross.
Yes. Yeah. And as someone who also has an older boy, younger girl, Jacob and Erica are almost exactly three years apart. And I thought 3 years, so me and my sisters were all like boom, boom, boom. Like it was like right now I'm 36, 5 and 4. And so it's like they were my best friends and also worst enemies and whatever. And like, yeah, I thought like, I've got this one kid all by himself and he's 3 years apart from his sister. They're never going to get along. They're never going to know each other. You know, what is their life going to be like? And yeah, same thing. All of a sudden you're just like, first of all, they're in cahoots. Like they know each other's friends and they know each other's everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and also, yeah. I would go back to little boy time over teenage girl time sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The growing up, like, they actually didn't really even like each other that much. They didn't really care, like, because they were so different, and they were far enough apart in age where they had different interests at different times, right? And so they just never... They never really even played together.
Ian was that kid that, look, she's standing for the first time. Boom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She took two steps. No, she didn't. She's on the ground now. Like, he would just, like, she'd walk by and he'd trip her every dang time. We're like, dude, come on.
You can't do that.
Like, let her be.
Yeah.
And he just, we're just like, this is, and we kept telling them at some point, one day, you guys will become friends.
Yes,
right?
Like, you will like each other.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah.
They're 18 and almost 22 now.
Mm-hmm.
And
could you imagine
almost there.
Ian or Lily getting married right now, like, and doing what you guys did?
No. What were we thinking?
Yeah.
Right, but, like, I'm older than my mom was when we had him. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
You could be grandma and grandpa. Isn't that, like, kind of trippy to be like, but I'm not old enough to be a grandma?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can't
be.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not.
And are they dating? Is there anyone in their...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, but
yeah,
and we're not there,
right?
That we know of.
That's a conversation for another day, I think.
Yeah,
it's a different podcast.
Yeah.
So then, as you're going through the parenting thing and the like, raising the kids and doing the whole thing, just kind of, would you say everything just kind of sailed along? You just kind of did what needed to happen, and here you are?
Yes and no. I mean, because we had such different, like, childhoods, different upbringings, I would say, even though we had a lot of discussions about timing and when to have kids and what having kids looks like and stuff like that, we definitely didn't have the same parenting style.
Oh, yeah.
Because we grew up so differently.
Yeah.
Right? And so that actually took some time to kind of figure out in some ways, in some situations, right? But I think what's always been sort of true is we've always balanced each other out mm-hmm. in so many ways, but especially in parenting. And so if, you know, Lily and I were getting into some arguments about, you know,
the way mothers and daughters do.
It's totally.
Yeah.
Peter would know when to just kind of swoop in and like shut it down. Mm-hmm. Right. Or to, if Lily comes, you know, and she's just the moody, emotional teen and, you know, you can't pull him out of that sometimes.
Yeah.
He just has this way of like, clearing the room a little bit, make everybody laugh, kind of like, okay, like, shit's not that serious. Like, let's just calm down a minute and we'll figure it out. And so he's always had that ability. But in the same sense, like, our kids love and appreciate that. But they also know, like, they're going to go to mom because if we need something taken care of.
Well, and a lot of that stems back from me traveling. Yeah. I wasn't there, you know, all week long and just weekends. And
it was just party dad on the weekends too. Yeah. Party Peter all weekend long.
Yeah.
We actually, when he would leave Sundays, usually lunchtime, we'd eat lunch together and then he'd usually get on the road to go over where he was going. We had mandatory, we called it Sunday nap days.
Yes.
And so we had mandatory Sunday nap days where as soon as Peter went out the door, like, you didn't have to take a nap, but you had to be in your room.
Yeah.
Just for, like, reset.
Yeah.
Because it was quite literally, like, go, 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 and he's home on the weekends and play and watch movies and eat food and go here and there and whatever. And so we just had to, like, chill.
Transition.
And so we had a kind of a rule, like, we don't talk to each other on Sundays until it was supper time.
Yeah.
So we had that whole afternoon to just reset.
Yeah.
And then when they could hear me making dinner and doing stuff, like, they come out of the rooms. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And still to this day, Ian's like, Sunday nap day. Like,
yeah.
He just sleeps all day Sundays now.
Yeah. I love that.
Make it up for that time you never slept as a kid.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now you've ruined him for any future relationship where it's just like, do you know what time it is? I need to go take my nap.
Yeah. It's Sunday. What do you mean you want to go do something?
No, like, I'm not going apple picking on Sunday.
It's not happening.
No.
No, got to work around these naps.
He's the only person I know that can sleep all day and all night.
Truly.
He has to make up for all the times that he was awake all day and all night.
Yes. Yep.
So
Lily was so good. She slept all the time.
From day one.
Yeah.
From, like, right through the night.
Day one. At the hospital. I was actually ridiculously sick. I had this, like, terrible, terrible, terrible cold when I gave birth to her.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, she's beautiful, but also,
I
feel miserable.
Do you know what I'm going through right now? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, they took her to the nursery overnight and came to me and said, like, should we wake her up so you could feed her? And I was like,
Why on earth
would we do such a thing?
Do not wake a sleeping
baby. Are you
baby?
Kidding me? And I was like, she'll wake up when she's hungry. She didn't wake up all night long. And I was like, oh, she just knew her mama was sick.
Yep.
She and slept all night long, basically, from the beginning. So just a great.
100% opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
In so many ways.
Yeah.
If we would have had Lily first and Ian second, we would have been in trouble. I think because you automatically thought that the first one is going to be the second one's going to be just like that. No.
Well, that's for the most part, that's which is good.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have the first one is the easy one. And then the second one is the absolute terror. And you're just like, this is absolutely not what I signed up for.
Right.
Yeah.
We got that out of the way first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're like, if this is the worst that it possibly gets, then mm-hmm. fine.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very different
True
experiences.
Story.
Yeah.
Yep.
So in the Huhl household, what's kind of what's the secret sauce? What's going to keep you guys going for another 25 years, do you think? Other than communication, because we know that you've had that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Well, now, I mean, we're going to be empty nesters. I mean.
Yeah. Back to it's just you two.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to start traveling more. I don't know. We'll have to do something.
I think you have to sort of redefine, like, or revisit, like, who you are. Like, we started talking about this when Ian graduated 4 years ago. Like, even just the shift from having two kids at home to him leaving, going off to school, you know, getting work and stuff like that, and then having just one.
Yeah.
And at that point, Lily's socially, she's so busy,
yeah,
involved in stuff at school, working and stuff. So it was already weird because she wasn't there very much, and now he's working close to home, so he's home. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of adjustments that happened in the last few years of, like, we have to decide if we still like each other. I mean, yeah, of course we do, right?
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah,
like, how do you reconnect,
yeah,
as, like, older, you know, adults and,
yeah,
and find, like, what do we have in common still, yeah, in these things? And so we've just...
We play a lot of games.
We do. We play cards almost, well, not every day. For a while we were.
We had a year-running contest.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually in our third year.
I'm winning.
What's the game?
Skip-o.
Yep.
Yeah, we play Skip-O.
Podcast Abby is having a moment.
Yeah, yep. It's actually been so fun because, like, we make dinner again because, like, Lily was gone most nights, mm-hmm, and so we would just sit down and play Skip-O, like, sometimes between one and three games, and we quite literally just started keeping track on a calendar one day, like, I'm gonna beat you, I'll see how many times. And so now we're on our third calendar here of keeping track,
probably, yeah, five decks later too.
Yeah, sure,
they were a lot, well, of, yeah, cards. But it just helped us just sit down and, like, connect and talk and find those, mm-hmm, like, intentional moments to just, you know, kind of, even if I'm like, I freaking don't want to play this with you, you're always winning, like,
yeah,
he puts up with me getting really annoyed with if he wins, so I'm like, nobody wants to play with a winner. Like,
yeah,
yeah, it's dumb.
Come, yeah, on.
And so then sometimes he's like, I can tell when he's like holding cards and trying to let me win.
Yes.
So, but, like, you know, it's just about reconnecting. And then, you know, we did a lot of camping with the kids, and it's still something we like to do. But we got a side by side, and so, mm-hmm, now we just take weekends to go riding and spend time together and just do other things that we didn't do when we had kids. And,
mm-hmm,
so it's just, I think that's what it's about. Just, yeah, finding new things and new ways to connect and to just not be stagnant and not, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm just going to sit at home every night doing nothing. You got to,
right,
find ways to still be together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you a pet household?
We have a pet. We have a dog. During COVID, we gathered a lot of pets.
Okay.
Mostly our daughter gathered a lot of pets.
Yeah.
I
have a bird and she, yeah, they're polarizing. People either are like, oh my God, that's so cool. Or they're like, I'm never coming in. Casey Krafnick will not come into my house.
Yeah. We had two birds for a while. So during COVID, Lily had two birds. We had, at some point we had hamsters, I think, for a while.
Oh yeah. Don't do them either.
Short,
yeah,
lifespan.
Yeah.
We must have like eight fish tanks at our house because every, yep, time somebody wanted a fish they had to get a new I'm like,
of
what,
course,
is,
yeah,
happening.
Yep.
Dog, we've had, this is our second dog.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have other pets? I don't know, I feel like,
no, not since we've been here.
Okay, yeah, so
we've had cats in the past, but
yeah, not for a while.
Okay, yeah. So you've got your dog now, and you're, yeah, just, okay, so you'll be an empty nester with dog and Skip-O, and, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's technically Lily's dog, but it's not going to go to college with her,
right.
So now we get to inherit the dog.
Okay.
Fully. She's a good dog. So.
She's a really good dog.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She likes the things we like to do, so she goes camping with us, she likes to be on the wheeler sometimes.
Yeah.
She's a little dog, but she likes it.
To sleep all day.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. How do you can't go wrong with that.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love getting to know the whole behind the scenes and to kind of the whirlwind life that you guys have had.
Yeah.
And just moving on to the next, to the next, to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I love it. Thank you so much. It's nice to know. Now I do understand, Peter, why you do get flowers for her for birthdays and anniversaries, because she deserves it. So,
absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. The Hools, Jessica Peter Hool. How do you say that? The Hools?
Yeah. Yep.
Hools?
Sure. Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
I just always say Peter Hool. Like, I've always just called him his full name. Peter Hool.
That's, yeah, they do that at her work a lot, too.
And everybody at, yes, my office, is Peter Hool coming over? Like, yeah. It's never just Peter.
I think he's in my phone as Peter Hool.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's Peter, yeah, Hool. It's because of before I even knew him, Peter Hool is coming, yeah, to the party, right? Like, just stuck.
Everybody knows about Peter,
yeah,
Hool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now I'm glad that we got to now just expose a little bit more of the world to Peter Hool.
Yes, me too.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met. We would love to have you on the Love Story podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out, info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, or head to the show notes.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Beutler, owner and CEO of Aesthetic Events. What sets us apart from other event companies is we don't just handle the decorating and the day of coordination, but we also manage everything from setting up your venue to your vendors. So we contract everyone from your musicians, your florists, your photographers, your videographers. The list can get pretty big and we handle it all. We also can help you with your event schedule. So everything from your invitations to your itinerary, groom's dinner, family meetings and coordination of transportation and any other unexpected tasks that come up. So you can focus on what truly matters, celebrating the magic of your wedding day. Let Aesthetic Events make your big day truly unforgettable.